for all you need to know about COVID-19.
Stay tuned to 702.
21 minutes after 8, and Sean van der Meulen joins me and his partner in competition practice at Weber Wenzel. Sean, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time, sir.
Good evening, Aubrey. Thank you for having me.
So it has been one of those things that all of us have frowned upon, that all of us have said this is just unacceptable, it's just distasteful, it's something that businesses should not be doing, and that's to hike their prices during a time such as this. Clearly, even government feels the same way, given the fact that the Competitions Commission has jumped in on this matter. But what are the rules, Sean? What are the rules as we should understand them as the public?
Indeed. Thanks, Aubrey. I think it's important to bear in mind that our competition law in South Africa has always had a prohibition against excessive pricing in our law. And really what that provides is that firms who are large...
Sorry, Sean, if I can just quickly jump in there. We can't hear you. Yeah. Are you on speaker?
No, I'm not.
All right. Something is happening there that makes you sound a little muffled. But let's continue. I'm
is
sorry.
Is that better?
That's much, much better. Excellent. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just on a... So I was saying there's always been in our law in South Africa, our competition law, a prohibition against firms charging excessive prices where they are large dominant suppliers and are able to exercise market power and effectively exploit consumers by virtue of their market power and size. And that's nothing new in our law. What's happened and what's an important development that's come about as a result of the COVID-19 disaster and the implementation of the Disaster Management Act is that the Minister for Trade and Industry, Minister Patel, has enacted new regulations which supplement the existing law on excessive pricing. And really what those regulations provide is some additional factors that the competition authorities must assess in looking at in cases of excessive pricing. Now, the Commissioner Thembinkosi Bonakele appeared before a portfolio committee in Parliament today and noted with much pride that the Commission has received over 1,350 complaints of excessive pricing against companies in South Africa during the COVID-19 disaster, which the Commission is investigating and has already prosecuted and reached settlements with a number of firms. And I'm sure you and your listeners are aware that a number of those have been reported in the media.
Sure.
So the likes of Dis-Chem,
yeah,
has been in the news recently, as it has been taken to the Competition Tribunal by the Commission for an excessive pricing complaint,
yeah,
as well as a number of other firms and companies that one wouldn't ordinarily think would fall within the excessive pricing regime, which is under our existing law.
Yeah.
So we've had examples of the Commission taking, you know, individual family-owned pharmacies and, you know, family-owned grocery stores and corner hardware stores for effectively excessive pricing of essential goods. To date, the Commission has been focused largely on the sort of essential PPE and protective equipment, so things like face masks, etc., hand sanitizer, and it's really gone after basically any retailer that it can find or against whom it has received a complaint for excessive pricing.
This is a side question, aside from, you know, the main conversation you and I are having. Wouldn't some of these businesses argue that if we don't do that, then those in the black market are going to muscle in on that economic space and one, provide inferior products, two, and this would be, I suppose, a selfish reason for doing what they're doing, but two, so that we can protect our market share for that particular product, three, well, you know, it's business, dude. We're seeing that these are hard times, but, you know, market forces are giving us this opportunity and we're going for the gap. How do you respond to that, Sean?
Absolutely, and I think, I mean, one has to appreciate we are in an unprecedented time in terms of business and how firms have to operate. You know, we've never gone through something like this before, and companies are really feeling their feet. And as you say, many companies are seeing a gap where they can supply products through that they've never supplied before and are supplying them at prices that the market may bear. This will certainly be a case study for decades to come on how markets react to market shocks and supply chain shocks. And, I mean, I think the case of Dis-Chem is a very interesting example. I mean, I know Dis-Chem has been painted in the media and by the Competition Commission as this terrible ogre who has gone and exploited consumers by by increasing its prices for face masks. But when you actually go and look at the facts of that case, and I must just point out I've got no affiliation to the case, I'm just following it out of interest because it's a very interesting case. Effectively, I mean, Dis-Chem found itself in a situation where due to a sudden and massively unexpected rise in demand of face masks, which happened virtually overnight in February and March when the virus exploded globally, it found itself suddenly in a situation where its typical South African supplier of face masks could no longer supply it with face masks. So it had to go overseas, and as you can appreciate, there's a massive global demand for face masks, and suppliers globally were charging exorbitant prices, and Dis-Chem found itself having to procure face masks at very high cost to itself, and as a result, passed on those costs in the end pricing of those masks to consumers.
So what you're saying to me, if I understand you correctly, Sean, is that Dis-Chem, in our conversation, was itself a victim of price hiking that happened globally because of the knee-jerk reaction that the markets had towards the COVID-19 crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that Dis-Chem did was that prior to the outbreak of COVID, so in 2019, it only sold face masks in a bulk pack of 50. But what it noticed was in January and February, when people started buying masks, it found that people were buying up, a small number of customers would buy up the majority of packs of face masks, such that other retail customers who wanted face masks, there was suddenly no stock left.
I hear you, and that explains a lot as to the circumstances that led to Dis-Chem's actions. But they are still reprehensible, I would imagine, even though the explanations might be understandable, because I suppose any other company would be able to explain themselves in the way that you're explaining Dis-Chem's reality or Dis-Chem's plight. I'm sure that they would be able to explain themselves and say, listen, these are the circumstances we found ourselves in. And in order not to lose money, in order not to lose money to make those products available to the community or to the market, we had to raise our prices. But the courts, the regulations, the law still says that it's wrong. Shouldn't then, given your explanation, shouldn't then the Competition Commission have had a different way of assessing the guilt or innocence of a company such as Dis-Chem?
Sure. So, I mean, to go back to what the law actually says and what the new regulations provide, it says that basically if during the course of the COVID-19 pandemic, a firm increases its prices in a manner that does not correspond or is not equivalent to the increase in costs it experienced in providing those goods, or if its average net margins or the markup that it charges is above the average markup prior to March 2020, then that will not be considered excessive. So as long as companies responsibly increase their prices in line with the costs that they are actually experiencing themselves, and they are not achieving any kind of additional markup or margins on the sales of those goods at the expense of consumers, they should be in the clear. And that's effectively exactly what Dis-Chem has said happened. It said it had its own cost pressures. It had to increase costs as a result of its increased procurement costs. It hasn't earned any additional margins, and that's basically the story that Dis-Chem has put before the Competition Tribunal, who is obviously still assessing the matter and is yet to deliver a judgment. So it would be interesting to see where...
So a judgment has not yet been delivered?
Sorry?
A judgment has not been delivered with regards to the Dis-Chem situation?
Yeah. No, the case has been argued, but we haven't received the tribunal's judgment on it. So we don't know yet whether Dis-Chem will be found guilty or not. But, I mean, to just illustrate why this is such an interesting scenario, is that so Dis-Chem had increased its prices in March. The state of disaster was announced on the 15th of March, and these regulations promulgated on the 19th of March. And Dis-Chem didn't actually implement any further price increases for masks. What then happened is, obviously, globally, there's a massive push for all suppliers and anyone who had ever made anything then could make a face mask to start making face masks, which meant that suddenly the market was now becoming flooded with availability of product. And so the cost to get those masks started coming down because now there was availability. And Dis-Chem, in response, actually lowered its prices in April, and before the commission had even contacted it or indicated it was investigating it. And Dis-Chem had adjusted its prices downwards in response to the availability. And if you look at things now today, I mean, you can buy a face mask on the side of the road because every man and his dog is now selling face masks. And the market has completely corrected itself. So while there was a very short...
So you're suggesting to me, with regards to the Dis-Chem situation, that it was mostly a timing issue. A timing issue in terms of, at one moment, there is no availability, and then at another moment, there is availability, and it's a crisis. And so it was a timing issue. But look, Sean, I'm glad that you are helping us understand the Dis-Chem scenario a little bit better than perhaps some of us would have understood it. The reality, though, is that some companies are unscrupulous. And of course, as you say, that the jury's still out on the Dis-Chem situation. So I want to leave it, park it a little bit so that it doesn't sound like you're here trying to defend Dis-Chem. The issue, though, is what then are the protocols? What are we as consumers supposed to look for if we suspect that a particular company is now selling things that would have been reasonably priced at exorbitantly hiked prices because they're taking advantage of the COVID-19 moment?
Sure. And let me just say that, you know, while Dis-Chem is one example, there are many, many other examples of firms which have, as you said, acted unscrupulously to exploit consumers.
Yeah.
And we are dealing in an era where there is reduced consumer choice. You know, if a consumer goes to buy a face mask or a hand sanitizer, he can't go and shop around and could visit multiple stores to try and get the best price or whatever and check who's got stock. He's likely to go to the first shop he finds, and if they have stock, he'll buy it regardless of what the price is. And that's just the nature of the current disaster that we are living in.
Yeah.
And many companies have exploited that to the detriment of consumers. I think, turning to your question, I think the thing that needs to be looked at is what was the reasonable pricing or what was the competitive pricing of those goods prior to the COVID disaster, and what are the prices being charged now? Obviously, that's a very difficult thing for a lay consumer to necessarily judge, but you know, the average consumer should have a good idea of what was a reasonable price and what is being charged now. And if there's a massive obviously discrepancy in those two prices, then, you know, that anybody can lay a complaint with the Competition Commission if they feel they're being exploited.
Yeah. Let's invite our listeners to participate in this conversation on 011-883-0702 as I speak to Sean van der Meulen, who is partner in competition practice at Weber Wenzel. Have you witnessed or identified certain products over the last few days? Let me say days, right? Because I think Sean has made it very clear that there has been a discrepancy and a situation where the behaviors have been falling in the cracks because of the speed of the happening of the crisis, because of the unavailability of certain products, because of the nimbleness of certain industries to provide and sell. I get all of those. But give me a call if you've experienced any hiking of a particular product that you perhaps a few days earlier bought at a different price. And give me your experiential understanding of that. I would imagine, Sean, that most of us as consumers might not have the algorithms and the principles and the formulas to explain, to understand whether something has been price hiked. The only thing we have to rely on is the fact that last week I bought this thing at 5 Rand and today it's 15 Rand and I can't afford it. And that's what makes me feel like it's untenable. But is there something
I think that's exactly what the Competition Commission is there to assist the public with.
Yeah.
So obviously most people won't have the tools or abilities to do a price, cost or margin analysis on the company.
Yes.
But, you know, if somebody has a concern and they submit a complaint to the commission has the powers to investigate and see whether there's any merit in the claim. I should just say that, I mean, what I'm seeing from a number of, and obviously I've backed for a number of businesses, particularly in the FMCG space, is that a number of, obviously we're dealing in a situation of complete market turmoil where global supply chains have been disrupted. Here in South Africa, we've seen a massive currency depreciation and volatility in the last couple of weeks. And producers out there are facing increased costs. And the fact that they may have to pass those costs on to consumers who only really see the end price, you know, that does create some a case for some caution and as to sort of labeling companies that are companies who are price gouging simply because they themselves are having to increase prices. Obviously, there are probably instances where they're being unnecessarily raised, but there are also instances where companies are facing severe cost pressures themselves and are having to implement price increases to remain above board.
Is it possible for those businesses who find themselves in those kinds of pricing pressures to then inform the Competition Commission to say, listen, look at this. We would like to keep our prices where they are at the moment, but if we keep the prices where they are at the moment, we stand to lose. Is that kind of platform available to businesses? Because quite frankly, Sean, I wouldn't want to see a business go under because it now has to sell a particular product or service under cost when clearly it knows what the reasons why they can't get more supply. Is there a platform that is available to businesses?
Look, there's no legal platform and there's no sort of obligation or requirement under the Competition Act or the regulations that have been promulgated requiring companies to go and seek, say, a pre-approval from the competition authorities or the minister to increase prices.
Yeah.
Most companies, I think it would completely overwhelm the people if every single, you know, one of the tens of thousands of companies who are operating in South Africa suddenly start approaching the competition authorities for those kinds of approvals. I think most companies are responding that way on a reactionary basis. So, you know, if a complaint is lodged with the commission will usually contact the customer, the company, and say, They received this complaint. These are the allegations against it. What does the company have to say? And in that forum, the company can respond and say, yes, I had to increase my cost by 5% because my input costs have gone up by 10%, and you know the cartons that I have, that I buy from Europe have gone up 20% due to the currency devaluation, and explain why that is. Yeah. And the commission will then assess that and see whether there's any merit in the case or not.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think most companies will and should probably deal with it on that basis.
Give me a call if you run a business, right? If you are a business owner and you run a business and you've been under the kinds of pricing pressures that Sean is talking about, give us a call. And what are you doing as a business owner, as a company? What are you guys doing to make your consumers, your customers understand the predicament you find yourself that forces you to raise your prices? Because yes, while we want to fight for the consumer, we also want to fight for the businesses that employ the people of this country, that drive the economy of this country. So give me a call. I want to understand from your experience as a business, are you finding yourself in a situation where you've got to hike your prices because maybe a supplier of yours has hiked their prices? So clearly, Sean, there is some sort of a chain that we need to be aware of here that may lead businesses to hike their prices, not necessarily because of what they are doing, but because of the things that they are exposed to. I'm talking about suppliers that may themselves be acting in unscrupulous ways or being forced by circumstances, as you've explained. So what happens in that situation, Sean?
Well, I mean, I know one of the things that the commission is very concerned about is the sort of doubling or tripling margins that happen at each leg of the supply chain. So, you know, if you have a producer who sees a market gap because there's a demand for his product, and he, you know, adds on an extra 10% margin on his production costs, he then supplies it to a wholesaler who adds on his margin. He then supplies to a distributor who adds on his margin, and it ends up at the end retailer who adds on his margin. By the end of that chain, you've got, you know, a 500% markup that's been added because each person along the chain has added an additional markup. I know the commission is very concerned about that sort of practice, and so is also looking at supply chains generally and not just the end retailers. Anybody who's acting in a supply chain in that capacity also needs to be careful.
Give us a call, 011. Yeah, so, sorry, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, and we have seen a couple of examples of manufacturers of PPE being fined for excessive pricing. So it's not just at the end retail level that the commission is concerned about. It is concerned about the whole value chain.
All right, we've got a number of calls, Sean, on 011-883-0702. My guest is Sean van der Meulen. He's partner in competition practice at Weber Wentzel. Please give us a call. And what are your experiences? What are your understandings? And maybe you're not just coming from an experiential, anecdotal sort of background in this discussion. You've actually thought about this stuff. You've done the studies. Please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Monica is in Soweto. Mamrud.
Good evening, O'Brien.
Oh,
Sean.
It's the other Monica. Hi, Monica.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
A 2-liter bottle of oil at ShopRite has jumped from 33-35 rand to 50 rand.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know what brings it to that price. Then I went round to the Oriental Plaza. A meter of Shreshre 3 kits. There's a particular brand which is popular. 3 kits.
What is the brand? Go ahead and tell me what the brand is again, Monica.
3 kits Shreshre material.
Yeah.
It last year in December it was 50 rand. Early this year was 55. I accept that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But 2 days ago I went to the plaza. It had leaped to 78 rand per meter.
And where is this? Where did you say this is?
The Oriental Plaza. Okay. I forgot the name of the shop.
Okay. And so what is your question, Monica?
My question is, or maybe I'm crying out aloud,
sure,
more than a question.
Yeah.
From 55 rand to 78 rand, I call that 80 rand, and it's a whole 25 rand or some odd difference.
Yeah, yeah.
How can that be? All right, let me get off and give others.
Monica, thank you very much for letting us know. Much appreciated. So, Sean, I mean, there's a material that has jumped more than, what, 30%? Yeah. In just a few days, there was a price hike of 5 rands from 50 to 5 to 55 rands, which Monica says is probably understandable. But from that time into the COVID-19 moment, lockdown period, it's gone up to 70 whatever odd rand. Is that acceptable? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, because we don't know what's happening on the seller's side. You know, he might have,
sure,
you know, due to the lockdown, he doesn't have any customers anymore, and
yeah,
the only way he can make enough money to,
sure,
to keep open and feed his own family is to try and earn a bit of more money by increasing prices.
Yeah,
I can't really say whether or not that's excessive. I mean, I suppose the one option is to ask the Competition Commission to investigate that. But I mean, I should just point out that, I mean, the legislation on excessive pricing is really designed to go after large dominant firms. Yes, the commission is going after sort of, you know, mom and pop stores and you know, corner shops and single pharmacies and single hardware stores and the like. But we're dealing with a piece of legislation that's really not designed to go after, you know, a material seller in the Oriental Plaza. I'm not trying to say that pricing isn't unconscionable or, you know, it's not right, but, you know, it's a difficult question to, sure, answer as to whether that is.
I think what I'm getting,
unlawful conduct.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting more of in this conversation is that we need to be careful about simply assuming that our experience of a particular issue marks some sort of unscrupulousness. You're suggesting that perhaps there's more to the story than just unscrupulousness. But you are also saying to me that let's not ignore the fact that there is unscrupulous behavior.
Absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Teboho is in Pretoria. Hi, Teboho.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Teboho, go ahead, sir.
Mine is a different one, but maybe we'll get clarity.
Sure.
Yeah, the problem is we are renting flats, and then the electricity that we are paying is not normal. It's a very abnormal. I mean, you stay alone, you've been built around 1.5, 1.6, 850 sometimes. So they just decide. So these are metering companies. And these flats, these companies, it's like a monopoly because they don't want to put prepaid. So what are they going to do about
it? Tell me how you come to the conclusion that it's not normal. I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just wanting to understand your logic, your rationale.
Okay.
How do you get to what is normal and not normal?
No, I mean, we know how to use electricity, number one. Number two, you go to somebody who has the same things that you use. They've been charged 400.
Okay, so that makes it that makes sense to me. You see, again, I'm trying to get to understand when we say something is abnormal. What sort of matrix are you using? What determines for you that this is normal or abnormal? And you're saying to me, which is something that I understand, that you've gone to somebody who has similar conditions to you, who pays 50% less than you.
Yeah. This thing, it's like this. You've been billed like this month. Maybe they charge you, or let's say it's first time you stay there,
yeah,
they charge you 400.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's fine. Next month they charge you for something. Then the other month they add 200. It keeps on going. You don't complain.
So it's not regular.
It's not regular. Yeah, something like that. Then the next month it's 800. You go and complain. They bring it down to maybe 600. They leave you for around 3 to 4 months, and then it goes something like that.
I understand.
And it's situation is serious.
And you're saying to me that this is not necessarily a COVID-19 lockdown issue.
No, no.
But it is something that's been happening over time. And your worry is that maybe some of these meter companies who have a monopoly could be arbitrarily charging people without a specific formula that can be understood and that can be predictable in the way that it prices.
Yes, and we don't know where to complain.
I understand. All right, Teboho, thanks. Teboho in Pretoria. Sean? The electricity situation where people are feeling that pricing happens arbitrarily and there seems to be a monopoly of electricity meters or companies that have a monopoly on electricity meters that seem to be charging prices arbitrarily. Sean, are you there? Yep. Okay.
I'm here, Aubrey. Look, it's not really my area, but my understanding is that the price of electricity is regulated. In other words, Eskom sells the electricity to municipalities at a price that is set by NERSA, and the municipalities then on-sell that electricity to consumers at a set price. So it sounds to me like it's not really a pricing issue. It's more a metering issue that, you know, maybe there's a fault with the metering or there's irregular checks of the amounts of electricity that have been consumed, which is resulting in fluctuating prices. I mean, if in circumstances where the price of a good is regulated by government, well then, you know, even if there is a monopoly of a metering company, it can't change that pricing. So it sounds to me more that there might be a technical issue or
where would somebody like Teboho need to go to one get the regulated prices and to complain about what he feels may be an arbitrary way of pricing? I mean, I get the sense that Teboho is speaking from experience, not necessarily from a particular study that has been, but from experience. I mean, he says, I know how to use electricity. And you could argue that, yeah, but Teboho, you know, that's you saying you know how to. But then he says, I've gone to somebody who lives just like I do, who pays 50% less than I do. And that for me sounds like a rational argument. Where would he be able to take an argument of that nature?
Well, I mean, I think he'd need to first take it up with his electricity provider, whether it's, you know, the likes of City Power or the municipality or whoever's basically he's responsible for paying for the for his electricity and taking it up with them first or possibly his ward councillor if he doesn't get any joy there. I'm not aware there may be some other regulatory or ombudsman who oversees these sorts of things, but I'm afraid I don't have any.
Well, I'm looking at my producers now, and it looks like something that they'll get onto to try and understand how the whole electricity metering business works. Maybe we'll get somebody to talk to us about that. So, Teboho, we're going to try and find out for you how that whole industry works, how is it regulated, and who you can complain to. I understand Sean might not be the right person to ask that question to. Yeah, Jan or Jan? In Kensington?
Thank you, Obi, for taking my call.
Hi, Jan, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Here's an excellent example of price gouging that's taken place recently. It's, you know, these bootleg and contraband cigarette smugglers. They often pose as legitimate companies, you see. And then now that cigarettes have gone double the price, more or less, and perhaps more, it's tax evasion, you see. So if Mr. Kiesewetter is listening, because the opportunity for him to get onto this and shut them down and so on, you know, and regain the revenue lost, because that's where it all happens. The mafia in the USA were caught this way, by the way, and jailed.
Tell me something. I mean, you say that some of these companies pose as legitimate companies, so I would imagine that they would... I would imagine that they wouldn't mind... I would imagine, Jan, if they are saying that they are legitimate companies, that they wouldn't mind being named on air. What What names have you got?
Yeah, no, you have to dig. It's in the company's registration stuff, you know.
Okay.
They're there, but they register as something else. But then they do these operations, these undercover operations to get the cigarettes out onto the street at the hugely inflated price, you know, because now they see an opportunity to gouge from the public.
Jan in Kensington, thanks very much. Imploring the Commissioner of the South African Revenue Services to go after these so-called legitimate businesses that behave like mafia companies. Yeah, it's true. It's happening. Sean, you know, you get the last word here. What do we take away from this conversation?
I think what we, I think you mentioned it perfectly a little bit earlier, that basically customers and consumers do have the outlet and the ability to lay complaints with the Competition Commission for what they feel is unfair or unreasonably excessive pricing. But at the same time, I think consumers also need to be sensitive to the fact that just because you see a higher price on the shelf from one day to the next doesn't mean that there's been an actual contravention of the law. And that all suppliers are basically feeling hard times at the moment. And it's a very complex thing. But if you feel you've been badly treated and that the prices are absolutely excessive and unconscionable, it's within your rights to lay a complaint and leave it up to the competition authorities to investigate that for you.
Sean van der Meulen, thank you very much for joining us. Sean is partner in competition practice at Weber Wentzel. How do people get a hold of you, Sean, if they want to consult, talk to you?
Sure. I think the best thing is to look on our website, www.weberwentzel.com. And you can find an expert or search for me on there.
Much appreciated. Sean van der Meulen, partner in competition practice at Weber Wentzel.